Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And today I have a very special guest. She is an author. Her name is Deborah Carr. She goes by D.A. Carr. Call her Deborah today. Deborah's been writing books and screenplays for the last 10 years. Her experience and employment includes firefighting in the U.S. Forest Service, law enforcement, IT engineering, and several years with the Space and Naval Warfare Systems Center in San Diego. She has a master's in software engineering. Deborah also enjoys writing in a variety of genres, including sci-fi, thriller mystery, historical fiction, and screenplays. She is the author of several books, including Link, The Legend of Pendine, and The Racehorse with Magic Shoes. And we are going to talk about these books today right now. So welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you very much.
I am always interested to find out where people come from, where their past kind of leads them to what they're doing today. So maybe if you don't mind, let's step back before we move forward and share with us, as a child, did you know what you wanted to do when you grew up?
Not really. I was always animal-oriented and sort of a tomboy, so I stuck with the horses. And I started, my first college degree was at San Diego State, and I started in veterinary science, but that didn't work out for various reasons. I ended up being a firefighter for the U.S. Forest Service. So after 12 years of doing that, it didn't look aspiring any longer, and I went back to school in computer science. I ended up in software engineering. That's where my actual passion for writing began, because I was doing so much tech writing, and it's a very dry, self, non-inspiring type of writing in the IT business. So I wanted something more of my own, and then my creative side took off, and that's how I started actually writing fiction.
So it was kind of the boredom of writing for the IT field that said, oh, I've got more creativity going on here?
Correct, because it's not your own. You have to write what they demand, and it's very, very dry and monotonous.
Mm-hmm. You know, I get that. That would get stale pretty quickly. When did you write your first book then?
Oh, that was over 10 years ago. The pilot book was The Racehorse with Magic Shoes. Mm-hmm. And it was based on my my thoroughbred that I had, that I was retraining, and he was such a character. He was a clown, and that's what inspired the first book.
Oh, The Racehorse with Magic Shoes. That's a great name. How many books have you written then?
I've written three novels, two screenplays, and very short stories.
Wow, so you're busy.
Right.
Do you have a favorite out of what you've written so far?
I think Link, my last one, the sci-fi novel, is actually my favorite, because it's a blend of the technical background I have as well as a new vision in sci-fi, not just an old twist of good guys against bad guys or Star Trek, Star Wars, or Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that book for a moment. It's called Link. You say, while post-apocalyptic novels have become something of a literary staple, that readers and critics are currently crying out for a new and unique narrative that doesn't succumb to the recycling of the same old concepts. So what did you do differently in that book?
Link was based on the concept of making man-machines, sort of like Battlestar Galactica, or the technology now has become so advanced that man depends on technology so much that they actually become a machine. And that's where I saw that where the future is taking man, everything from biometrics of artificial arms, legs, hearts, everything about man is becoming more of a machine-like or android-type operation. So I took that concept and developed it into what it means to be human. That's how the actual concept of the book became a reality.
And you talk about time jumping.
Yes, there is some time jumping in the book, more to use like a tool versus a weapon. The characters, this happens in the future, so of course it's good guys against bad guys, and the bad guys get hold of the technology, and they try to jump back before there was any regulations or any sort of control over the technology to get the actual fuel to fuel their ships and their weapons. So the good guys have to go back in time to get it. And it was more or less like a tool versus a weapon.
Okay, interesting. And you say that you had three words pasted above your writing table when you were writing Link, and they were suspenseful, intriguing, and action-filled. How did that help you?
Well, I'm an action person, being my background in firefighting and the IT business. I ride horses, very physical. But that's what the sci-fi industry demands, especially like a movie like Star Wars is a good example. People want the action. They want the thrill. They want the look and feel of fighting and flying and, you know, just war in general. So that's the action part. Suspense is they want the intrigue of who did what. Can they figure out who the bad guys or who the good guys are and what they're doing? The market demands in the industry, especially the screenplay industry versus the novel industry, but the book has to have some oomph to it unless you're writing a romance novel.
Mm-hmm. Right. And speaking of screenplay, Link is now a screenplay. Tell us a little about where it's heading.
Right now I have big studios looking at it. It's the history behind it is, including the novel Link, is I started a screenplay many years ago and developed it around the same concept, but I didn't have the experience or the techniques to take it any farther. And after taking classes and workshops and working with editors and the industry-type people, I developed it further. And actually, the first screenplay called Perdulous was the original title of the screenplay. It won 3 quarter-round finals in the international contest. And so they didn't like the title necessarily, so I changed it to Link, which means the link between human and machine. And that seemed to do it. So then fine-tuning it even further, the final copy of the screenplay from the novel became a reality. But I do have studios looking at it right now, hopefully for an option. It's also entered in very large contests. Probably the quarter-round finals is June through about August. So I'm hoping for an option out of it.
Oh, what an exciting time for you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Finally, after all these years of taking classes and workshops and writing and creating and putting your words on paper, it's finally, I guess, starting to pay off or just move forward in general.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking so many people think, oh, I want to be a writer, and then think they could just sit down and write something and be successful at it. But what you're saying is that you've worked hard and you've taken classes and you've trained, and there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just sitting down and pouring out your heart.
It's true. It's true. It's too technical in nature. There's so many formats and so many specifications. It's not too far different from the IT business of technical writing or even QA testing. There's always formats, there's procedures, there's specifications you have to abide by. Screenplay writing is different from novel writing, where the typical screenplays, the three-act Hollywood play acts, mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 3, where 1 is the build-up, 2 is the actual action or the conflict, and 3 is the letdown, and a perfect bell curve where the first 10 pages, you have to introduce the characters. The first 3 pages, you have to get the story. And then you have to build up, and then you have to bring it down. And it could only be 120 pages max. Mm. Where a novel is, the difference between the novel and the screenplay, so the screenplay has only action and dialogue to tell the story. And the director makes all the background FX to tell that story, where a novel, the author has to tell the story, where the characters can think out loud or think to themselves, or you can see their inner thoughts on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. and you have to describe and just detail what's going on. And if you say the character walked through the door, that's good for a screenplay, because you don't want to overdo the direction. That's the director's job. But in a novel, you have to describe in detail how the character walked through the door, how they opened the door, what they were wearing, what their face looked like, what their attitude or their mood was. They walked through the door and they were somber, in a drunken stupor, and plopped down in a chair, pounded on the table, and yelled out loud. You know, you have to really get all the detail. And that's the difference between a novel and a screenplay.
Very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Now, where do you get your information or your ideas for your books?
From general life, just whatever. Right now, you have to think when you start writing. There's two types of writing. There's hobby writing, and then there's actual a job or a business type. If you want money out of it, you have to have something that's marketable. It can't be just a twist on something. It can't be a copy of something. It needs to be something that's unique. Like when Harry Potter came out, all of a sudden everybody's writing wizard-type mm-hmm. stories, you know, with sort of a variation of title, or the Vampire Diaries came out. Everybody's writing about vampires. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you might have to wait on your idea, but eventually it's going to come back to the market. Like right now, it wouldn't be good to produce any sci-fi movies with Star Wars out.
Right.
So I get basically my ideas from general life, around concepts I want to explore, something I could evolve into a marketable idea that actually has some value.
Yeah, and that's important to writers who actually want to make a living. It has to be a marketable idea, and it has to be of value to someone. I think those are two critical points that a lot of people tend to miss.
Yes, they do. A lot of it is, you know, if you're going to sell to family or friends, or you just want to produce a book, that's all your goal is, then you can write about anything. Mm-hmm. That's the fun part. But if you want to make it a business and actually try to make money off of it, it has to meet the market specifications.
Right, exactly. And it takes time. So with that in mind, how long does it take for you to write a book?
It depends. I don't have the problem of going dry or a block. It seems like I haven't yet. So I just write till it just stops coming out of my brain, till I hit the words, the end. It usually doesn't take me more than 6 months, really, to get the basic text on paper, whether it's a screenplay or a novel, and then you have to go back and start editing it and storyboarding and piecing it together and filling in all the holes. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say more than a year at the most.
Okay. Quite a process. Why don't you share a little bit about your process? Do you have a work schedule when you're writing? Like, is there certain times that you write, or do you want to get certain number of words per day? How do you decide that it's a good writing day?
I have two processes. Since I have to work full-time and a regular job, I start writing when I really get going. I start writing at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm fresh, mm-hmm. When I don't have any problems left in my head regarding my job or personal business. I feel the freshest at 4 o'clock in the morning for about 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Try to pace myself and not overdo it. But the weekends, I can get really into it, maybe 8 hours, depending.
Wow. 4 o'clock in the morning, most people are probably thinking, nope, got to be sleeping.
Right. It's not for, like I said, if you're going to do it for a hobby, for fun, you can pace yourself and do it at your own leisure. But if you want to get something out there while the market is still hot on your subject, then you have to get it going. Yep. After you get it pieced together and storyboarded, then you have to send it out to editing, and you have to work with an editor. My editing process usually takes about 3 months.
Now, do you write an outline ahead of time? Somebody told me the other day there was the plotster or the pantster. somebody that writes the plot out and writes everything out, or they fly by the seat of their pants? Are you either or in somewhere in the middle?
I do make a plot outline, but I call it storyboarding, more of the screenplay level, which is about the same thing, where you can add actual images and photos and things like that to add to your collection to tell your story. And then when you have it moved around the way you want, then you start writing into those photos or those images.
Kind of a visual as well.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I met a gentleman last week who said that he writes in the dark because as a child he would write at night when his parents wanted him to sleep. So that leads me to ask you if you have any interesting writing quirks.
Yeah, I wear hats, depending on to try to become the characters. Well, it also helps me concentrate. It's like when I put on my writing hat, that's when I write, and when I take it off, that's when I play. So that's one of my quirks, besides writing at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I like the idea of wearing a hat. We used to do that in our office. I ran a business, and people kept coming in to interrupt me all the time, and so I put a hat on. I'm like, all right, folks, when I'm wearing the hat, you can't interrupt. When I take the hat off, you could come in. So
Exactly.
It's like a visual reminder to those around you that you've got your writing hat on.
Correct.
Well, now, when you're not writing, what things do you like to do?
I have a horse. I ride my horse. Mm-hmm. And I go out and do fun things and do a little bit of sightseeing and just get out in the middle of people and see what people are all about versus being behind a computer all the time.
Sure, because I imagine that's inspiring as well to think of new topics to write about as you get out and about.
Right. You hear people talking and you see people's real problems and the way people behave. Plus, when you're writing, if you're writing about a certain type of character, you need to go out and look at that character in the open, in public, and the way they behave, what they wear, how they walk, and what they talk about, and how they talk, in order to actually write about a character type.
Well, all right. Well, now give us some extra writing tips. What do you think makes for a good story? If you were a new writer, how would a writer know that, oh, yeah, this is going to be a great storyline?
Usually, if it has to do, like I said, with something people are interested in, like it seems like people are always interested in something about an animal, cats or dogs, something funny cats or dogs do. If you go to the nonfiction side, any self-help type things, how to build something that people need.
That whole how-to, that's a great way, I think, for a person who's never written before to enter the writing world, just to look at yourself and find out what is it that I do well that other people might want to learn about, and that maybe give you that break into the feel of actually putting your words on paper.
Correct. And also, what can you relate to your reader? How can you relate to your reader? What do you have to offer? Like, I was a firefighter. I worked for the Navy. I was in a battle group. I've had a wide variety of experiences. I'm around a wide variety of types of people. So I have a whole catalog or library of information at my hands. What can you offer your readers? How are you going to relate to your readers?
Well, speaking of your readers, do you write for an audience? Do you have in mind, okay, this is the demographic of people that I want to read my books?
Well, you have to, because like Link would be rated PG-13, more on the upward teen to adult level. It wouldn't be for a child. So you have to remember that when you're writing, that you have to use that level of language. Like mine has a World War II flair, so it's got a lot of World War II attitude and dialogue types in it. So when you write, you have to be sure you're writing to the level that you're trying to market to. And it doesn't matter, even if it's race, religion, or sexual orientation, it has nothing to do with it. It's the level of mentality or reading level that you're trying to market to.
Right, you know, I get that. And as far as your readers go, do you get feedback from them?
Yes, I do. I get good comments and so-so comments. I really haven't received any bad comments. Everybody sees something different, and they look for different things. So I really haven't received any bad comments. But yes, I have, and I really encourage it, because that just makes you look at things the way other people look at it, and maybe you need to fix something.
Absolutely. I would think writing is kind of a lonely craft, and if you're not getting any feedback other than book sales, which is, I mean, that's a good metric, but still, just to hear from somebody, I would think that that could help you move in one direction or another to say, oh, exactly what you said, I need to fix this or improve that or change this.
Right. There's always room for improvement, and that's one thing in being an author or just writing in general. You never stop. There's always a rewrite. I think I've rewritten, I can't even tell you how many times, how many drafts there were. There was a lot. And you send it to an editor, and the editor sees, oh, look at this dialogue. It's not, you know, you need to do this and that. There's this and that. This doesn't say this. There's a big hole here. Mm-hmm. You know, they see different things. So you have to be very flexible, and you have to be thick-skinned.
I was just going to say that you have to be thick-skinned, because it's such a personal, emotional outpouring of what you're feeling. And then to have someone else say, whoa, what are you saying? I didn't understand that, or we need to change this. It would be hard not to take that personally.
Right, especially like, for instance, I can quote Disney's the last Peter Pan, I think, movie received a really bad review that it was racial, and they had a big stink about the fact of the Native American influence in it, and they had to take it off the market, really. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I don't think their editors even looked at, or somebody just didn't look at, you know. It could be a big mistake like that that they can cost you a lot.
Yep. Wow. Well, now, do you have any suggestions to, say, new writers or up-and-coming writers to help make themselves be a better writer?
I would say take workshops and classes. There's really good classes from film schools like UCLA or levels like that, community colleges, to even authors and publishers offering workshops and classes. They can give you all sorts of insight. Like one of my friends, I took a workshop from a well-known author, and my problem was, like, it was for my screenplay of writing static versus dynamic dialogue. It's like dynamic dialogue is what they want. Like you and I are having a conversation. It's not staged. I'm not predicting what you're going to say next. You're not predicting what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Static would be everything is predicted in the dialogue. And to know the difference between those, we were given skills and lesson plans to, okay, hit the timer, you have 10 seconds to write, or you have 1 minute to write. And it just had to be just totally fluid, and it just got me out of that niche of writing static planned dialogue. So those workshops, those classes really pay off. And like I said, number two was find something that you love, that you're passionate about.
And I understand that, because you probably have to then, as you're writing, stop and do research and make sure that what you're saying is accurate. And so if you're not interested in the topic, it would be more work than it would be pleasure.
Correct. It's like my book, Link, and even the screenplay. I had to go out and research the title to see if it was branded or copyrighted, and how many books or how many articles or letters is attached to it, and is there one similar, so similar that, you know, it could be really questionable. You have to look for branding and copywriting. You cannot use the same characters' names. You can't use the same type of dialogues. For instance, Star Wars uses the phaser, laser, beam me up, Scotty, and things like that. You can't say things like that in your book because that's copyright infringement. You have to go out and do research into the time periods, whether you do a historical novel or a period piece or even a future piece, to make sure it makes sense, like what type of weaponry or technical spaceships or cars even was in that time period that you're trying to portray.
Lots of work is what you're saying.
Correct. It's just not, like you said, if you're just writing for fun,
right, it's different.
And you just want to sit down and write about a subject, that's a whole different thing, but you just have to make sure you're not infringing on somebody's copyright or branding, or, you know, people pick up things along the way and you think it's yours, but it's not really.
Right. There's a lot to pay attention to here. So what's next for D.A. Carr?
Right now, I'm going into the quarter round finals of these screenplay contests. I'm looking at, you know, getting an option there. I'm sort of on a break right now from novel writing, but I have my other project I'm looking at that I started developing on the storyboard about. It's actually a mystery thriller. I get story about that is it's called The House on Park Place. I was challenged by a director to write a horror story, which I've never done, but I heard it's so niche that you can't sell it, so I turned it into more of a mystery thriller type. It's about a family back in the 1800s that has this house. It's been handed down for centuries, and they have a common quirk that the women only go out with a criminal type. And then the house starts taking a part in their lives, that their husbands always get killed or disappear. So the question is it the house or is it the actual marriage or the family itself?
Okay, The House on Park Place. Well, we can look forward to that, huh?
I hope so. The link is not the end. It's only the beginning.
There you go. I like that attitude. Well, now, is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we missed today?
No, I just hope people buy a copy of Link or that type and read that type of sci-fi. It's apocalyptic sci-fi. It's not for the weak-minded. There's different types of sci-fi. And then they read it and they enjoy it.
Absolutely. And where can the folks go then to find you and your books?
It's on sale at Amazon.com. I have the ebook, which is in color, and there's also an audiobook that's very well done. I love it. And all the best online sellers, Barnes & Nobles and any of them has it online. I think Barnes & Noble is carrying it in certain stores in the store. But mainly it's online.
Okay. All right. And your website name?
Right. My website is www.racehorsewithmagicshoes.com.
Okay. Racehorsewithmagicshoes.com. And there's more information on that site. Well,
yes, there is.
Yes, what a pleasure to meet you today and talk about your books and your process. I think you've given us a lot of very valuable tips and tools. So anybody that's thinking of writing or beginning writing or even seasoned writers, I think, can learn a lot from our conversation today. What a pleasure, and I'm pleased that you were able to spend the time with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
No, you are welcome. If you have something to say or share and would like to be interviewed, we will feature you too on the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. Just visit the website speakuptalkradio.com or leave a message on our studio line 440-725-5462. Go ahead, speak up.